Your brother Matt in Oakland County, Michigan, Bible students. Our lesson is taken primarily from the book of Matthew. We have always been on the lookout to observe how the Lord arranged to do and say certain things in particular sequence and order. Have you ever wondered, as you read through a gospel account, why Jesus said and did certain things when he did? Why Jesus did do this miracle at this particular time instead of another miracle? Is there an overall theme that Jesus happened to be following in these experiences? As I'm sure you've also noticed, you do see a pattern and a broader lesson emerges confirming the plan of God as we have already seen from our topical studies. We rejoice because any little thing that can strengthen our convictions and our faith in the overall plan we receive as a gift from God and render Him thanks for it. That's basically what today's study is. We would like to read in Matthew, the 16th chapter, starting in verse 5. This is after Jesus had performed two miraculous feedings of the multitudes. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we've taken no bread?" Which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, "O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you've brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We now have scriptural authority to look at these two feedings of the 5,000 and the 4,000 for a deeper spiritual lesson than the miracles alone as they happen. The Lord is telling us that we should look deeper into this. Jesus is really talking about spiritual bread, the truth, the Word of God in its purity, which he gave. And beware of the polluted, contaminated, and leavened Word of God, the false doctrine of the religious systems of his day. Brethren, what we are suggesting is that these two feedings represent the two harvests, the harvest of the Jewish age and the harvest of the gospel age. One similarity between the two harvests is that the Master is present. He was present during the first harvest of the Jewish age, feeding the multitude spiritual truth, and he is present during the second harvest, the harvest of the gospel age, and he is again feeding those disciples that come unto him. We believe this first feeding represents the first advent. We would like to look back to the first feeding as recorded in Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," food. "But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. You give them to eat." And they said to him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. They did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Starting back in verse 13, Jesus went into a desert place. There he called the disciples out of the cities to follow him there. In the Bible, a city often represents a nominal religious system, such as the city Babylon in Revelation represents the papacy. Here, Jesus was calling the people out of the nominal religious systems of his day, under the scribes and Pharisees, inviting them to come out and listen to him. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. He was not a Levite, so he was not considered qualified to be teaching religion. But he was the teacher sent of God. It was something unusual for them to go out and listen to Jesus' teaching. Jesus was saying that now was a time of change, a change in dispensation. "Come out unto me, I will feed you the true words of life." Those who were willing to leave the cities did follow Jesus out. There was a great multitude that went out wanting to be healed. We think this represents that as followers of Jesus, we all recognize that we need to be healed from our sin sickness. We go to our great physician to have peace with God, to be made whole in the sense of having a standing before the Heavenly Father. He does heal us in that way, does he not? We see here also in verse 15 that it was evening. And we think that means that it was the evening of the Jewish age at the first advent. The sun was setting on the Jewish nation for a time. Only a remnant would be found amongst them to hearken unto this new teacher. The disciples felt that they should send the people back to the villages for their own food. So also, at the first advent, it was difficult at first to believe that the Lord would teach religiously or spiritually feed and instruct his people outside of the religious system. But indeed, that was just the case. As remarkable as it seemed that they must leave behind this religious system that had served them so well through the Jewish age, pictured by the cities, Jesus was telling them to come out into the desert, have faith, and he would feed them the words of life. Recall that in Revelation 14, verse 1, and verse 4, the 144,000 who stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion followed him wherever he went. And they were virgins, undefiled with women. That is, symbolic harlots or false religious systems. As Jesus was preparing to feed the people, he commanded the multitude to sit on the grass. All those who come to hear the words of life from the Master must sit at Jesus' feet. We must humble ourselves to learn of him. One of the things that so struck us in the vision of the Mount of Transfiguration is the word of the Father that came down to Peter, James, and John. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. So here the multitude had to sit at Jesus' feet to listen to him. Where else could they go? Before the feeding, there was a giving of thanks to the Heavenly Father for the meal. Likewise with us, we give thanks for the spiritual blessings and understanding we receive. This is a proper attitude, recognizing a need to be healed from our sin sickness, a separating from false religious systems, trusting in the Lord, wherever He may lead, following Him out into a desert place, and humbly sitting at His feet, following His commands and instructions. Then we must partake of what is provided. We have to eat for ourselves. We want to note that there are given to us some numbers. There were 5 loaves and 2 fish. And of the men fed, there were 5,000. We have no number for the women and children. Also, 12 baskets of fragments were collected. The second feeding. Now let us turn to the second feeding found in Matthew 15th chapter, verses 29 to 38. And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down. And there went a great multitude unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitudes, but because they have continued with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, When should we have so much bread in the wilderness to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said to them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and they were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full, and they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. We suggest that this second feeding represents our Lord's return at the second advent in 1874. Again, he is feeding his people. Again, he is calling his people out from the city condition into the wilderness condition to be fed. Revelation, the 18th chapter, verse 4 states, Come out of her, my people. That is God's people. Come out of Babylon, that city condition of false religion. Come out, lest ye be partakers of her sins and receive of her plagues. We notice in Matthew 15, verse 29, that instead of being in a desert, Jesus had gone into a mountain. We know from our studies of the Bible that a mountain symbolizes a government or a kingdom. And so our Lord returns to sit in his kingdom, set up his kingdom from 1878 onward. the time sequence would be off if this mountain were at the first feeding. But here it is at the second feeding, the second advent, it seems to fit. Once again, we are told that the multitudes that came out to be with him recognized that they needed healing. So too, those of us living now, during the second advent, we realize our need for healing from our sin sickness also. And again, when they were healed, what did the people do? They glorified the God of Israel. And don't we also glorify God for this wonderful ransom and atonement? In verse 32, Jesus said that because these people journeyed with me 3 days and had nothing to eat, I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Here is a suggestion that you might recall from the lessons in John 2, verses 19 to 21, where Jesus said in part, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." But he spake of the temple of his body. Brother Russell suggests from scriptures, and now we would ask for chart number 1, if it could be on the screen. Chart number 1. That from the entrance of sin and death in 4126 BC, that there were 7 1,000-year days that make up the last 7,000-year-long creative day in which God rested. The first 1,000-year day would take us from 4126 B.C. to 3126 B.C. Another 1,000-year day then would bring us to 2126 B.C. and the next to 1126 B.C. Then the fourth day would span the B.C. A.D. line and bring us to 126 B.C., the next day, 1,000-year day, would span that A.D. B.C. line and bring us to the fifth 1,000-year day, 874 A.D. The sixth 1,000-year day then would bring us to 1874 A.D., and the seventh 1,000-year day would bring us from 1874 A.D. to 2874 A.D. That chart looks much better than the one I gave them. Thank you. 2874 A.D. would then be the end of the millennium. Jesus said that these 3 days they had been with him. So the Christian church has been walking with the Lord, in a sense, from the first advent at the sign of the cross in 33 A.D., in the fifth 1,000-year day period that we are calling the first day with Jesus. The sixth 1,000-year period is the second day with Jesus. And sometime after 1874, the church will be complete, but we see here that this would be in the third day or the third 1,000-year period of being with Jesus. This is the 3 days that they had been with the Lord in the second feeding. Now it is true that the church has been fasting for parts of these 3 days in a sense. During this period, after our Lord was glorified and the apostles died and fell asleep, until the time our Lord returned in 1874, this interim period, by and large, was a time of fasting for spiritual food. Why? Because the 1,260 years, there was hardly any Bible study. And why was that? Because the Bible was kept in the practically dead language of Latin, the language of the Church of Rome, which only scholars could read. In Revelation 11, verse 3, we read, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." The two witnesses of God are the Old and New Testaments. They were clothed in sackcloth, and we know that sackcloth represents mourning for that which is dead. There were very few morsels of truth during that interim that relieved the saints from being totally starved to death. It was very much a time of fasting until the Lord returned in 1874 and he started providing meat in due season. Please notice that the time sequence wouldn't work if these 3 days were at the first feeding. But because it's at the second feeding, it does work. It fits our picture. Meaning of the numbers. And we'd ask for chart number 2, please. Thank you. Once again, that's much nicer than what I gave these brethren. Thank you. At this feeding, we see that there were 7 loaves and a few fishes. From the Sinaitic manuscript, in verse 36, it says that there were 2 fishes. We are told also that there were 4,000 men fed, besides women and children, and there were taken up 7 baskets of fragments. Now let us consider the math lesson of these 2 feedings. 5 loaves and 7 loaves equal 12 total. 2 fish plus 2 fish equal 4 total. 12 loaves plus the 4 fish equals 16 units of food. 5,000 men plus 4,000 men equal 9,000 men fed. 16 units of food multiplied by the 9,000 men equal 144,000. Think for a moment that if just one of those numbers were different, we would not reach this conclusion. Think for a moment that Jesus' real purpose in giving the spiritual food at the first and second advent is to develop 144,000 mature Christians of strong character pictured by the men. Only the men were numbered. It is just a picture or symbol of reaching a full stature in Christ, a full manhood. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:13 used that figure of speech, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." The women and children were not numbered, picturing that they represent those that did not come up to the full stature of manhood by the things which they ate. Are there those who eat of the words of Jesus? Those who partake of spiritual truths, who have been healed of their sin sickness and have sat at Jesus' feet? A group that is not numbered? We answer yes. The great multitude which no man could number, as described in Revelation 7, verse 9. We suggest that the women and children who ate and were not numbered represent the great company who also ate and followed Jesus to some extent. But only the ones who partook rightly and made full use of what Jesus provided will be found worthy to be numbered among the 144,000, the little flock. We had 12 baskets left over from the first feeding. We had 7 baskets left over from the second feeding. That must also represent something for us. we would suggest that those at the first Advent, after Jesus had fed the people, that held forth the bread of life as these baskets did, were the 12 apostles. Revelation 12, chapter verse 1 tells us that there were 12 stars on the woman's head that stood upon the moon as she was clothed with the sun. This shows that woman, picturing the Christian church, was supported by the Old Testament with the law and the prophets with their types and shadows pictured by the moon, but it was really only a reflection of the gospel sun, the message we have in the New Testament. But the 12 stars or shining lights in the early church were the 12 apostles. By the time of the second Advent, when our Lord returns, there are 7 messengers that have already come. It is a little bit different, but we do think it works. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20 tells us that the Lord had 7 stars in his right hand, which represent the 7 messengers to the 7 stages of the church. So also, throughout the gospel age, there were 7 bright and shining lights that the Lord did use to feed his people their meat in due season. They held forth that bread of life that Jesus had blessed. And when Jesus returns during the 7th period of the church's development, and in Matthew 24, chapter, verses 44 to 47, we are told that he would use a wise and faithful servant who was serving, and he would use him to be a blessed agent, to be the dispenser of the meat in due season, harvest truth to nourish his fellow servants. Just think. There were 12 baskets left over from the first feeding and 7 baskets left over from the second feeding. If those numbers were reversed, symbolically, it wouldn't work. But because it is worded this way, in this sequence, it does work. And it's not 6 baskets and 13 baskets. It's not 5 baskets and 4. It is 12 baskets and 7. These numbers, if they were one different, or if they were reversed, taking place at the first feeding instead of the second, or if being fed after 3 days happened on the first feeding and not the second, or if Jesus had sat in the mountain at the first feeding and not the second, it would destroy this picture. Remember in Matthew 16, Jesus told us to look for a deeper spiritual lesson regarding these 2 feedings, regarding doctrine. He is talking about the difference between true doctrine and false doctrine. And that is what we see. Jesus was feeding the true bread, the true doctrine, and the 144,000 followed him out of those cities, humbled themselves sitting at his feet, sought forgiveness for their sins, blessed and thanked God for the spiritual food, and obediently partook and were properly developed. Another lesson. We'd like to take a look at another lesson regarding eating in the book of Matthew. Please turn to Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 14 and 15. Then came to him the disciples of John, the Baptist, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" Jesus said to them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast." What did Jesus mean here? They were asking Jesus about literal fasting. John the Baptist disciples literally fasted. The Pharisees literally fasted. How come Jesus and his disciples did not literally fast? We know that at later times they did sometimes fast. But Jesus took the opportunity to say, literal fasting is good, but I'm going to draw out a prophetic lesson. who are the children of the bride chamber? We think that would represent the future bride of Christ, those who are interested in the bridegroom. This is the prospective church. Who is the bridegroom? Our Lord Jesus. Was Jesus with the prospective bride at the first advent? Yes. Was he feeding them spiritual food? Yes. We just learned that. Could they fast when he was with them? Of course not. It would not be right. Why should they fast when he was there to feed them? The bridegroom would care for his future bride. Of course he feeds them. Would there come a time when they would fast from having the spiritual food? Yes. That time was the 1260-year period during the Gospel Age when the time, until the time of our Lord's return. I would like to suggest that since our Lord's return, we are no longer fasting. Since 1874, we have not had to fast for spiritual food. We have a bountiful table. We have a feast of fat things laid before us. Are we partaking of it and eating it? When the bridegroom was absent, the future bride did have a fasting for spiritual nourishment, and that time was during the Dark Ages. But thank God, no longer. This was prophetically portrayed in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That famine is a picture of the 1260 years of papal supremacy when they kept the Bible out of the hands of the people. It was a time of fasting. Do we read too much into this? We hope not. Is there anything here we didn't already know? No. We knew all this. But can it strengthen our faith that the Lord did see a time when his children would be in a fasting condition for over 1,000 years, having very little of the pure Word of God to feed upon? Does it strengthen us then to realize that the thing that causes the fasting to end, the spiritual blessings to flow, is the presence of the returned bridegroom, the presence of our Lord at the second advent, the second feeding? The long sought-after number is nearly complete. Let us look at Revelation 3:20. This is a verse written for the seventh stage of the church, the Laodicean period. The period of the church from 1874 onward. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. This is a special clue that we are given to understand that when our Lord would be present during the seventh stage of the church, that he would knock. How does the Lord knock? Do we hear a voice? Of course not. We think that Brother Russell suggests that the Lord knocks through time prophecy. We think that is really true. It is the time prophecies that give us the confidence to understand when our Lord returned, when our Lord returned, and what he has been doing. We also have the signs of the times, and they have been increasing more and more as we go along. This verse tells us that it would be a time when Jesus would be present as our returned bridegroom, and he would be at the door knocking. If someone will respond to the knock and open the door, the Lord comes in to feed, eat, and fellowship together with him. This is a personal setting. It helps me to recognize that my Lord Jesus has returned. He is here. He is feeding me the Word of God, and I don't want to refuse that. And I know that you don't either. With that, may the Lord add his blessing.